You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Monster House presents.
Monster Talk's a proud member of the Airwave Media Podcast Network, home of such shows as Subtext, The Projection Booth, and The Daily Meditation Podcast. If you'd like to advertise on this show, contact sales at advertisecast.com.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
Hey there, Monster Talkers. I'm just going to hop in here for a little bookkeeping, and then we'll get to the spooky center of this Tootsie Pop. I've been traveling for work the past few weeks, and this has put me way behind on my mini projects. So this week, Karen and I decided to have a little Halloween fun. Instead of a deep dive or an academic examination, we thought we'd just talk about creepy haunted cars and vehicle-related legends and lore. Some of the ideas we discuss in here will likely become full-blown episode topics later, but, you know, that's down the road. It was fun to have Matt Baxter back with us, and I'm excited because I'll be joining Karen and Matt in Alabama in November for a talk at Jacksonville State University. Our geographical distance has meant that despite working together since 2008, I've only been face-to-face with Karen and Matt a handful of times. I'm really delighted that we're going to be able to add to that number again so soon. It's not a major topic in this episode, but we do briefly discuss murder and suicide. And I know it's very dangerous for people who are going through troubling times, perhaps with their own struggles. And if that's you, please know that people care about you and help is available. In the United States, you can dial 988 and get help any time of day from trained professionals. This is always an issue of importance to me because I've got people in my life who've struggled with this problem, and I've dealt with dangerous, intrusive thoughts on my own. So if you need help, please remember that number, 988, and call it. Now for some fun news, we'll be doing a Monster Talk Live on October 29th at 8 p.m., so we've been on a break from those shows for a while, and I'm excited to get back in the video saddle for that, and I hope you can join us. We will post about it here and there, but you can always find it by going to youtube.com/monstertalk on Sunday, October 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern, and there will be a link there that will let you watch the stream. And when you watch us live, you can interact with us as we record, and we hope you can join us. But for now, let's get to the
Monster Talk.
Oh, well, golly.
Here we are. It's October, and so Halloween season, and we're joined by Matthew Baxter. Welcome, Matt.
Greetings, greetings.
Welcome back, Matt.
Yeah.
So nice to be back.
We wanted to do a topic that had a good Halloween theme, and Matt suggested haunted cars. And Blake, you and I thought that's a great idea, but why are we talking about haunted cars?
Well, I don't know. When I was, I guess, early teens, I saw Christine.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a great sort of intro into the whole haunted car thing. And then I saw The Wraith, starring Charlie Sheen, and it's Tiger Blood.
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
And that one was pretty cool, too. It was his, mm-hmm. He was, I guess, this ghost that would challenge people to races. And then him and his car would end up getting in a huge accident with the other car. And mm-hmm. they would be killed. And then he would come back to life. And then his, well, back to undead. And then his car would reconstruct itself. And so it kind of had this haunted car feel.
Mm. Creepy.
And then I saw Maximum Overdrive, another Stephen King. And that one, you know, the movie wasn't as good as Christine was.
Well, it's you know, it's got that other Sheen brother, though. It's got Emilio Estevez.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the Green Goblin face on the semi-truck was wonderful and stayed in my mind. It is also one of Stephen King's cameos that I always remember when he's trying to get money out of the ATM and the ATM calls him an asshole.
This machine just called me an asshole.
It's like, well, that one in Jordy Verrill, you lunkhead.
and I'm going to say it again. I apologize, but, you know, Patreons. He says in this wonderful, you know, kind of lisp, but honey, this machine just called me an asshole. And I will always remember that. Love it. And so the thing is that was kind of, you know, getting into this whole idea that other things other than houses could be haunted. And then I saw the Manitou.
Oh. No kidding. That's a trippy movie. Oh my God.
I recommend it to everyone.
It is probably the greatest Native American popping out of a giant zit movie to dance in space ever made.
With lasers.
With lasers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I agree completely.
Where were the lasers coming from? And he said, I don't know.
Space, okay? It's just space.
It could have been from him, but I don't know. The thing is in that movie, one of the Native American characters talks about how some Native Americans believed that everything had a spirit, like a tree and a lake and a mountain. And, you know, all these things had their own spirit, but also things that were man-made, such as a typewriter and, you know, a computer.
Human made.
You are correct. I stand embarrassed. Human made. And it kind of, you know, gave me that idea. Wait a minute. All these things kind of have their own spirit. When you look at the whole idea of what it takes for a spirit to exist, a lot of belief is around the idea that you have to believe in the spirit. That gives it more power. You have to worship the spirit. That gives it more power. If it's an evil spirit, well, then we need negative emotions to feed that spirit. So why not create a spirit-driven car? And all you'd have to do is worship it, and it would never run out of gas. I thought, genius. This is brilliant. Yeah. And being a teenager isn't, you know, you think you know everything, but turns out you don't. You know, being here in the Denver area, we have a haunted strip of road called Riverdale Road. And there is one of the legends. The road has a ton of legends for some reason. But one of the legends is there is a black car, and I'm thinking very much a la Charlie Sheen in The Wraith, that suddenly will turn on its headlights and play chicken with you. And it has caused multiple cars to swerve off the road. I myself have gone out to Riverdale Road on many occasions looking for this car. And
with me, too, once or twice.
With you, exactly.
Oh, I see. You know. Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. Let's go out and drive in the country to look for ghost cars, darling. But, oh, no, I'm run out of gas.
Scooch with over to me if you're cold or scared.
Classic.
But, yeah, so I never did find this ghostly chicken playing car that causes so many accidents. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's still a very intriguing idea.
Oh, it is. You pushed this back. You know, clearly it goes back a bit. I was thinking, though, a couple of things. When we the car, the automobile, you know, those stories of haunted cars probably don't go back much further than the 1880s, since that's when cars sort of started to appear. But they were sort of preceded by haunted carriages.
And so, carriages, yeah.
And of course, haunted horses and trains, haunted trains, haunted ships.
Ghost ships.
Ghost ships, for sure.
Oh, yep.
But I wanted to say the 1977, this is not a ghost car, but there's a movie called The Car, which is basically a demon in the form of a car is attacking this desert town. That's one of my guilty pleasure 70s schlock films. A big fun ride with it's the guy from the Amityville Horror, Brolin, James Brolin.
James Brolin.
Right. Yeah, he's really good in that. So. The super creepy, and I don't know if this is the origin of a lot of these haunted car stories, but 1965, My Mother the Car, or is that more reincarnation? I guess it might not really be a ghost.
You were saving that one up.
I was not, actually. I thought the joke was just that there really was a TV series called My Mother the Car, but I thought of that right in the moment. Anyway, here we are.
Very smooth.
Here we are. And when Matt suggested this idea, it also made me think of Telly Savalas. So we did an episode going back a couple of months ago. One of my favorite
topics. Oh, see, we did.
The urban legend.
Nicely said.
Listeners, if you have not listened to that episode, please do go back into the archives and check that one out, because I think what's most interesting about the story is that normally we're talking about vanishing hitchhikers, but in this story, it's the driver who is the ghost.
Exactly.
So I think that's a classic story, but with a twist. So yeah, do go and check that one out. But with Matt also talking about animism, it made me think of an anecdote or a story I'd heard of going back a couple of decades ago now when I lived in rural Australia. So I'd love to tell you guys about that.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd be interested. The Please. Haunted car of Armidale. So I used to live in this little country town. I mean, it's not terribly remote. It's still considered to be rural, but it's in New South Wales. So this is going back to the early 2000s, maybe about 2003 or 2004 at the latest. And I was studying for one of my degrees at the University of New England. And we've spoken about this area before, Blake and Matt. Obviously, you'll know about this. You've been to Armidale as well. But it's the town that's next to Gyra, which is the home of the infamous Gyra ghost, the poltergeist, going back to the 1920s. And so it's said, when I lived there, I was there for about 4.5 years, and it seemed like every place was haunted. It's known as a city of churches, and all the churches are haunted. And there's a former orphanage which is haunted, and an old jail, a couple of homesteads, and also a haunted car, which is what brings me to this story. So going back 2 decades ago, I was volunteering with a local community center, and they had people who would record readings of articles of the local newspaper, which is the Armidale Express. And so I'd be reading this onto cassettes. This is how long ago this was, for vision impaired people. And one of the stories that I had to read for this recording, I thought was really interesting, really just struck me. And I've always remembered this. And it was about a local family who believed that their car was haunted. And this was an Indigenous family, so they were Aboriginal. And they had an old 1980s, I guess, Holden Kingswood. So for all the Aussie listeners, they will know Holden. It's a classic Australian car manufacturer. And a Kingswood is a very classic model that they used to make, or they might still, I'm not sure. But anyway, so in this article, it talked about how the haunting started one day when the mother of the family was driving home with the shopping. So coming back from the shops, and she just felt there was someone in the car with her. And she looked into the rearview mirror and was convinced that she saw an old lady sitting in the back seat of the car. So she was really creeped out and she spun around, but there was no one there. So,
you know, that's one of those things where if you spun around and saw someone, that would be, would be horribly worse. Terrifying. Well, but it's, you know, it's either way.
It ain't great. No one's
there. It's freaky. You turn around, someone's there. It's freaky. So that's just a scary scenario all the way around.
It is. And I think this was at nighttime too. So you've always got that kind of creepy feeling. You're driving around. And even going back to that time, the place was less populated than it is today. So I think she would have been probably driving on a street somewhere that was lonely. So it would have been really creepy. But after that happened, it's like that seemed to incite a lot of other things, a lot of other strange phenomena that started surrounding the car. And so the members of the family who would ride in the car would report that they could smell perfume in the car. And of course, not just any perfume, but an older lady's perfume. I don't know, something.
White Shoulders.
Maybe. Yeah. An Avon perfume.
Yeah. Like
it's like... Yeah. And then at other times, whoever was in the car would think that they could hear an older lady coughing or maybe clearing her throat or trying to say something, trying to communicate with them somehow. And if someone was driving the car by themselves, so the mother or the father, it often felt like they weren't alone, like there was just someone else in the car with them, some kind of presence. I don't think they were thought it was an evil presence, but some kind of presence that was in the vehicle with them. Another thing that was happening was the car often wouldn't start. And the skeptic immediately comes out in me with that one, just thinking, yeah, older car.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't start. And Armadale gets very cold, as you know, Matt, in wintertime, yes. And they get some snow. So things like that going on. But the mother claimed that she was psychic and she believed that the car was haunted by the spirit of its previous owner. So they did some digging and looked into the history of the car and tracked down the former owner. And it turned out to be, you guessed it, an older lady who had previously owned the car. And so as the story goes, one day she was feeling sick and she got into the car to drive herself to the hospital or to see her doctor. But when she got into the front seat, she suffered a heart attack and she passed in the car. So that was what they claimed the background was for this car. And when they did some further digging and looked up images of the woman, the mother swore that it was the same woman that she'd seen in the backseat of the car that day when the haunting began.
You're making me feel like I have to keep looking behind me now.
I'm just imagining her passing without actually being in gear. So,
right. Well, and there was a sign that said no passing.
Did this turn out to be a real story, or is this like
a story in the Armadale Express? So this was in the local newspaper, and it's a legitimate newspaper. It's not a tabloid or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's still around today, I believe. And I spent a lot of time. Over the years, I kept thinking about this story whenever Matt and I would talk about haunted vehicles, and I just can't find anything on it. I've looked up archives, and I just can't find anything about that story. And, you know, I even reached out to some people I know who've lived in Armadale or are still there, and no one just remembers the exact details of the name of the family or... So it's just one of those kind of stories, like a lot of these urban legends, where we don't have details, but the story was reported in the local newspaper, and I remember reading it for vision impaired people. So, the claims were legit, but whether it really happened, I don't know.
Well, you remember it, but it could be the Armandela effect, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, friends who've lived there say there's an Armadale curse. It's a really nice little town.
It's a cute
university
name.
Town.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's an Armadale in Victoria too, I believe. But this one's a little university town. And, you know, I often think about it. It was a really nice time of my life. And so you feel this kind of you feel you're drawn back to the place. And so we go there when we manage to get home. But anyway, it's a fun story. And I mean, there are plenty of other stories though. I was really astounded when Matt and I started discussing the topic. There are so many other stories out there.
One of the details that I would love to actually know that we don't have is if she was this little lady that lived alone, how long was her body in that car? Or how long did she, you know, survive? How long did she die? The process, you know, in that car. Right. I mean, all of that makes it just that much more mysterious and creepy.
And why is she the backseat?
Absolutely. So, I think you've busted open now. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, she'd be, I guess, you, yeah, that makes it tricky. But
I don't know. But well, no, it's
she don't want to be rude.
In the daytime, I don't care. But like if I'm driving down the road at nighttime, if I heard a whisper in the back seat or sensed there was something, but it would creep me out. I mean, even though I know and understand and even expect that when I come up the stairs from my basement, I'm going to hear those ghostly secondary effects. They still creep me out. I know exactly what's causing it. It's just a little echo, you know, but it's still disturbing and disorienting. It's So I knowing doesn't stop it from creeping.
Well, I want to say too that with the article, there was a picture of the mother and there was a picture of the vehicle, and I kind of remember it. And this could be a false memory, but I remember it as a red Kingswood. But yeah, there was a picture. So yeah, there was a, certainly the family existed, but whether things happened that way, I don't know.
But we're giving this to our audience, and if you guys want to help us look, it's the Armadale Haunted Car.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Car spirit.
So, yeah. Well, who's going to go next? Because there's so many other stories. Matt, you were telling me about where do you want to begin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I do want to say, Blake, I've been talking a bit. Do you want to hop in with any story?
Well, so the first things I thought of were cases that I've spent a lot of time on. So there's a very famous ghost photo, and we usually talk about it in context for ghost photos, but
I know which one you're talking
it's
about.
It's the ghost of the woman in the back seat. It's like, it looks like a British cab. It's a 1953 Hillman Minx. Mrs. Mabel Chinnery took this photo in 1959, and it's unusual because she was at the cemetery to see the grave of her recently buried mom. But her mom shows up in the picture in the backseat of the car. Now, spoilers, there's a whole bunch of details on this, and I'll put a link in the show notes to a write-up I have about it. But it is a double exposure. I believe it's accidental. There's no reason to believe it was fraud, as far as I could find from my research. But it is so compelling. And unless you get a really good copy of the image, the reproductions look much more like there's a ghost than it's a double exposure. There's just a few little details that make it evident, and you have to have a really like a first or second generation photo. But if you go to this article, I've got some cool photos. Like I found a modern picture of the same model car and was able to superimpose. You can see exactly what it looks like. It's neat. I did a lot of work on this. I'm very proud of that. But
you put yourself in the back seat.
Yeah, dude. If I could have gone to England and tracked down one of these, you know, I would. I absolutely would.
Oh yeah. But it's such a
I was thinking double exposure, but
oh yeah, yeah.
No, I do love that story. That's really one of those classics.
Well, you were talking about Telly Savalas, and I just have a couple of things about that.
Sure.
I think we mentioned it before, but with that, you know, the driver of the car being a ghost, but the car not being tangible either, but being tangible to Telly Savalas. So he got in this car and he sat in this car. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, did everybody else see Telly Savalas riding in a car, or did they see him floating in space?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I wish that there had been witnesses to that, because
who hovers you, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, it takes it from scary to kind of ridiculous.
Oh man, I need a lollipop now.
Yeah.
But some of the interesting stories, you've got like Bonnie and Clyde's car. When they were, it was 1934 when the police surrounded their car and just opened fire.
Wow.
Into it.
And did they? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was over 100 bullet holes in that thing. And now it sits in a casino in Nevada.
It sure does.
Whiskey Pete's.
Where's that in the kind of Glitter Gulch, the old part?
It's between Vegas and Death Valley. So. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We stopped. My family stopped for gas and saw the sign and went inside to see the little. They have like a little gangster museum, and then the cars there. It's pretty amazing.
Las Vegas was built on gangsters. Yeah.
But it is. I mean, it is
literally.
It is very visceral to see that car. It's that car. It looks like a cheese grater. You know, it's got holes everywhere. Oh. it's crazy. Yeah. Or colander,
well,
I guess.
And you know, since you've been there, Blake, I mean, what the big reports are, when people are looking at the car, they don't feel alone. They feel like there is a presence there.
Oh, I did not feel alone, and I sensed a smell of cigarette smoke. Yeah, it was weird. Oh. And I heard a lot of casino noises.
Exactly. A lot of casino noises, yeah. Well, I guess did you take any pictures of it?
Almost certainly. I could probably even get those for you, but not by this episode dropping. But yeah, I've got okay. Pictures. Yeah, I'll dig them up.
Because they say that a lot of the photos that people have taken show some mysterious things, and they think it might be the ghosts of Bonnie and Clyde still in the car, tied to that vehicle.
Or at least Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty, I think.
Warren Beatty, yeah. Oh, yeah. At least.
Even scarier.
But then an interesting one is James Dean's Porsche, the spider.
The little bastard.
Yeah. And, well, it's interesting because it was Sir Alec Guinness of Ben Kenobi fame.
I remember him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. When James Dean first bought that car, Alec Guinness said to him, yeah, you'll be dead within a week if you get into that thing.
Prophecy.
And it was exactly 7 days later.
Wow.
It was James Dean and his mechanic were.
So this is really the fault Alec Guinness, because he almost certainly, we don't know this for a fact, but almost certainly James Dean was driving down the road and then he heard a voice said, "Use the force, James," and put the blast shield down, and that's why he wrecked.
Exactly.
Oh, that's there you go.
Exactly. He turned off the
GPS. So the little bastard is famously I'm air quoting cursed. And there's all kinds of stories about how that after the vehicle was salvaged after the accident, that parts of it got used in other cars, which were also cursed.
Yes.
Body parts.
I'll ask Jason Colavito, friend of the show, who's never been on the show, but always welcome if he ever wants to show up here. And I'll try one more time. Yeah, but I mean, his work has been cited many times here. He's done all kinds of things on ancient astronauts and all the sort of stuff we're interested in. He's a good guy to follow. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
His most recent project was writing a book about James Dean. And I saw that he'd posted a lot about the car and some of the folklore around this. I'll see if we can get him to elucidate or possibly show up and talk about that, because it is an interesting story.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to hear if there's a better conclusion to the story.
Yeah.
You know, as it's they were, you know, it, the car one way or another. Parts or whatever killed other people.
Yes, exactly. That is the story.
As we've said.
Yeah.
In 1960, it was on the back of a truck which was transporting it, and it didn't have an engine in it, and it disappeared. Now, I'm not saying somebody would think it was valuable and figure out a way to take it.
No.
But still, it's missing to this day. So it would be great if he found out anything else on that, because that's really got me curious.
Yeah, great topic.
This is one of those topics that there are so many stories we could go on, but at the same time, it's just past 7, and I don't know how long you want to go.
Well, Blake, I think he's got one more.
Okay, we'll wind up here. I just while we're on the topic,
touch on it.
Well, we should. Nicely done. You nailed it. Within this context of haunted vehicles, I think we have to mention the Hairy Hands of Devon. That was 1921. Yeah. Ghostly hands, possibly a thought form, possibly completely made up by theosophists and spiritualists. But whatever it is, we did talk about it in a previous episode, and it is one of my favorite creepy driving sort of ghost stories. You know, you're driving down the road and in the moors, it's alone at night, or in the daytime, doesn't really matter. And then suddenly invisible hairy hands take control of the vehicle and try to drive you off the road. So that is terrifying. Mm-hmm. Also possibly completely fictional, but terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's good. It's really interesting folklore, and I did a lot of work on that one too. And I would love to. I'll link in the show notes if you'd like to read more about that really interesting tale. So
yeah,
but there, obviously we just scratched the surface.
I wanted to ask: was there anything else, Matt, you wanted to talk about? Because there's time if you want to tell another story.
Well, I will accelerate this.
All right. after a brief break.
One that I think is interesting that doesn't get brought up very much is in Amityville, the Amityville Horror. You've got how the vehicles were taken over by some demonic force, with the priest. And
that's right, the priest had car troubles. He was having all kinds of issues. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the thing is in Amityville to the book, not the movie. Completely different stories. But in Amityville 2, the book, the Lutzes got in the van and drove away from the house, like at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And as they were going down the road, the van was being pummeled by like fists from the outside. And it was this really crazy experience. And then they went all the way across the country to California, and this force plagued their vehicles there as well, on top of other plaguing it did. So it followed them from the house all the way to California, and eventually killed Mrs. Lutz. But
yikes.
It was a very weird one. But yeah, you don't really get to hear about how much this particular demon really enjoyed going after vehicles. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, I should add to, you've just reminded me, just in thinking about the haunted car of Armadale, and in also mentioning the Gara ghost case, that the lady or girl at the time, for all the poltergeist activity that was surrounding her, she did move to Armadale as an adult. And so Minnie Bowen. And so she died, I think, in the 1960s, it could have been. And she was run over by a car. So just outside of Armadale on Grafton Road. And it's claimed that the car was haunted and that it inexplicably swerved towards her. So it was almost like
someone had come to collect her.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That it was her time. So that's a good kind of tie-in with that
story.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, have you ever heard of the Golden Eagle, the most evil car in America?
No. I've heard of the Golden Eagle as a dollar, but
yeah. No, it was a 1964 haunted Dodge 330 Limited Edition, and it was a police cruiser originally, and all of the police officers that drove it brutally murdered their families and then killed themselves.
That's a very specific problem. That is.
Yeah.
How many are we talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah.
In what now? How many years?
No, how many families?
How many police officers?
Oh, three.
Three officers, three families, all murder-suicide type things, or just murder?
Yep.
Or
murder-suicide.
Yikes.
That's, yep. Yeah, so very strange coincidence.
Yeah, they ended up, you know, auctioning off the car. It was sold. And when it would, you know, whoever bought it, when they got it out on the highway, it would stall. The doors would open. The steering wheel would lock up and the brakes would give out, and the car just seemed just so intent on killing as many people as possible. And you know, later on in the 80s, a bunch of vandals were either trying to steal or joyride it, things like that, and they were all killed in gruesome ways. And there were at least two children that were killed near this Golden Eagle. An entire family died in a house fire 2 weeks after a child had dared to touch the car. So it's a very bizarre thing. But yeah, it was dismantled in 2010 because of like local churches and everything believed that the car was just possessed. And dismantling it is the only way to take care of that.
Take its power. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But enough parts have been found that they've reproduced or they've reconstructed the shell of the car. And
why would you want to do that?
Well, so you could have a golden double eagle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's interesting because some of the original people who helped break the car apart, they didn't survive long enough to see it put back together because they were killed shortly after pulling the car apart. So this one, you know, they say it's the closest thing in real life to Christine.
Wow.
So
no, I've never heard of this. That I would love to dig into that a little deeper. That is. No, all of these stories are, you know, we haven't like tried to press real hard on the skeptics thing here. It's Halloween. They've all got that flavor of folklore curse, but they're fascinating.
We've looked at some kind of skeptical
answers. I'm just saying, I, you know, this is not a deep dive into the answers here. We're just talking about something creepy. And you know, I really like it this time of year to sometimes just sort of enjoy the stories.
Put the brakes on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let you fender for yourself. Exactly. It's like, so it's like,
oh man, I gotta duck under the hood.
Forewarned is foretired, right?
Oh, I was waiting for that one.
That one was a little flat.
It was. It was.
Stop it.
Stop it.
You know, Karen actually asked me earlier today, and I want to get your take on this, Blake. Why would a car be haunted in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you really love your car and expire in it, maybe that's where you want to be, I guess.
Are you living your experiences?
Yeah, exactly. Or if, you know, if you're a parent, you can't be there for your kids, but maybe you could hover around and kind of like guide them out of danger, you know, that kind of thing. You'd be a little guardian angel in the car. I could imagine that. Or if you, you know, if you die and you really hate somebody, you want to pester them all the time. You just haunt their car. I don't know. I mean,
let me back off a little bit here and say, how about a house? Why would a house be haunted?
You're asking me like for real, why would anything be haunted? I don't know. I don't believe in ghosts. So it's really. It's like it's always astonishes me when people go look for ghosts in a graveyard. I'm like, well, wouldn't the ghost be where they died? Or if a ghost has no mast, wouldn't it just fly off into space when the earth leaves it behind? I mean, there's all these questions.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of physics questions. But I mean, I think ghosts are commonly said to haunt places, and technically until it no longer, well, I guess a car is always a place until it's crushed into nothing, right? It's sort of a place, but it's a moving place as opposed to a fixed place.
Right. Well, you know, if you talk about the earth moving like it does,
that's right.
The house is moving too. But no, the thing is I think that it's the same reasons, you know, that either something tragic happened there that was very you know, dramatic and emotional and everything else, or left an imprint, or it's something along the lines of, you know, they loved their car. You know how some car owners are. They love their cars. You know, ask.
Oh, the car's a she, and they name them. Yep.
Maybe
name
you them. Go yep. back to where you were conceived.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you know, Cameron on Ferris Bueller's Day Off said about his father's car that his father loved that car more than anything.
More than his family.
Yes, he rubs it down with a diaper and everything else. I think that that's, you know, the same idea.
Well, I think it's going back to what you were saying earlier, Matt, just talking about, you know, whether it's a haunted tree, some kind of inanimate object that, I mean, anything, if you believe in this kind of thing, anything can potentially be haunted. And there's a lot of a real
or
market out there at the moment for haunted objects.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's right. Exactly. You know, unfortunately, I didn't get to go inside, but, you know, Zach Bagans has that whole haunted museum and it's full of like murder stuff
Las
and
Vegas.
Allegedly haunted things. So, I mean, that's a big idea. I think the Newkirks have their haunted cursed museum. It's like, and of course, the Warren.
Warren.
I was about to say, I was trying to think of a nice way to say it, but yeah, just say their names.
John Zappas. Yes. Oh, well, this has been a fun episode.
Matt,
thank you for joining us again.
Yeah,
happy to be here.
Yeah, so happy Halloween, everyone. And we will be doing our live
Thank you for saying.
Episode coming up too.
Yep.
On Sunday the 29th.
Sunday the 29th.
If you'd like to join us for that on YouTube. And
I'll drop that information in the intro too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think
cool.
so.
Groovy. All right. I'm going to say goodnight to you guys. I'm going to stop recording anyway.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
You just heard us joined by Karen's husband, Matt Baxter, discuss haunted automobiles. We will almost certainly be doing a deeper dive into these topics, but sometimes it's fun just to remind ourselves why we love discussing the creepy, the weird, the mysterious, the macabre, and the unusual. And we hope you enjoyed coming along for the ride. Remember to check the show notes because we have a bunch of links to the topics that were discussed herein and also the movies. Monster Talk's theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys, and we hope that you have a safe and spooky Halloween, folks, and we will crawl back into your ears in a week's time.
Been a Monster House presentation.